The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Just kidding, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Babu Frick.
Oh, we're not going to talk about Obi-Wan Kenobi today.
Oh, yeah, we're not. Then I'm a lethal dose of gamma radiation.
Ah, there you go. We're talking about She-Hulk. That's right, She-Hulk TV talk. No, I'm kidding. Look, this is one of the best episodes of The Flash we've had in a minute, so we're going to be talking about The Flash.
It really is.
I do think that it is worth noting, though, we do have I put out a Kenobi TV talk mini, and I'll be doing some minis for the series Kenobi, just like I did for Halo. And so if you're interested in those kind of like relatively instant, not very thought out reaction type of mini podcast, you can find those here on the TV Talk feed. And don't worry, we will be covering it. We will be doing a Kenobi in review. So that's coming. We're also going to do a Moon Knight in review eventually, and a Multiverse of Madness as well, and a Halo in review. We got so many. We got a backlog of content, Bell.
We do.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because for a while there felt like there was a drought.
There was, but this is, but now there's too much. It's all out here. And so those are all coming. Don't worry, that you are going to get them. You might get them a little bit late, but that's okay. That just gives you plenty of time, to watch all the things. Bell, I should mention, like, in terms of like the Multiverse of Madness, you, were not the last person to see it, but you were one amongst the last, and you're not alone though. For whatever reason, that has not been the movie that is just, that Marvel fans have rushed out to the theater for. And maybe we'll save those thoughts, I guess, when we actually talk about it.
Yeah, well, in my particular circumstance, I just, with scheduling and work and Christie's work and stuff like that and various life things, we just didn't have an opportunity where we could go see it.
Bell, are you trying to say that you're getting old and life is changing?
Perhaps I am.
No.
I just need to embrace it. The time that I have left to watch movies.
Oh, man. All right. Good transition. Unintentional transition. This works well. All right. With all that out of the way, we're about to jump into it. You ready for it?
Yep.
Let's get into the rundown.
The rundown.
Episode 16 of Season 8, The Curious Case of Bartholomew Allen. Directed by Katie Lotz and story by
Thomas Pound and Jess Carson.
Bell, what happened this episode?
Well, David Singh asks Barry to locate a gamma absorption array stolen from Mercury Labs. He finds the thief, Piotr Orlov, but is blasted by the array, causing him to age 30 years. The more Barry uses his speed, the faster he'll age. He struggles to catch Orlov while suffering from body pain and memory loss. He and Cecile find a laptop with his work, and Chester deduces that Orlov's plan is to become immortal by stealing energy from everyone in Central City, aging them hundreds of years. He activates his machine, though Barry is able to force the gamma field backwards, inverting the energy change and reverting the changes to Orlov and Barry. Orlov is sent to prison. 1 week later, Barry checks on Caitlin at her apartment and learns about her plan to revive Frost, and she tries to sell him on the idea by asking what he'd do if he could bring back his parents. Barry isn't convinced, and Caitlin refuses to accept that Frost is gone, so he destroys her equipment.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, Bell. Yeah, I got bad news and good news.
Okay.
All right, the bad news is you're getting old and we're all going to die.
Very true. Yeah, what's the good news?
The good news is that this was a really good episode of The Flash.
It was so much fun. It was so weird. Like in the first 5-10 minutes of this episode, I was like, this is different. This is different, and it's good, and I'm enjoying it, and this is fun. And it wasn't until we read the beginning part of the rundown where we saw that it was directed by Katie Lotz, and I was like, well, okay, I totally understand it now. She, of anybody in the world, understands the Arrowverse and how to have fun with these shows better than anybody else in the world.
That's crazy. So, I didn't know that she was writing for the Flash.
Well, she directed it, but
I guess that's true. All right, fair enough. That makes sense.
But like, you know, the director has the vision and stuff like that, and you know, the obviously Thomas Pound and Jess Carson, like, they did a great job. And Katie, you know, just has all this experience on Legends, which I think is a shame that it's ending. But it was definitely the most fun of the Arrowverse shows, and this one was an example of that. Like, it was really fun, good Flash episode, and it was very refreshing.
yeah. Katie Lotz, of course, White Canary from Legends, and Black Canary on Arrow before that. You know, there is something about you know, actors getting behind you know, the direct, or getting into the director's seat, so to speak, because like on the one hand, you do, you know, there's a reliance that the actors have on the directors and the writers and that sort of thing. But then there's also like an understanding of characters and understanding of what the actors go through or need or the direction they desire that really only another actor can bring to the experience. And you're right, we got so many great little human, like very just human moments throughout. You know, that's something I've been talking about this season, is a desire for more of these like human moments. And this one was chock full. Man, all right, first of all, we got, like, the man himself is back. Ladies and gentlemen, we got Captain Sync.
That was a shock. I was like, when he came on screen, I was like, heck yeah, that's awesome.
Had no clue that was about to happen. And what a great use of his character at this point, kind of where he and Joe are. You know, like, I feel like they could give, like, almost anybody Joe could have that kind of conversation with. It's not like it had to be Captain Sync, but it made it so much better that it was kind of an old colleague kind of coming back and who he has this kind of life experience with. And it, that the performance alone, obviously fantastic. But beyond that, I do think there's something to be said for the choice to actually bring Sync back to have these conversations with Joe, and for them to be overlaid with the super element of what's going on with Barry. Bell, this is exactly what I've been asking for all season.
Yeah. Like, this was to the letter the type of stuff that you're talking about. We have a human story that is overlaid onto the superhuman, and they have parallels. And it was super cool to see that. And like, it worked so well.
Yes. If I could paraphrase in song, there's an old man waiting there for you. Sorry. I don't know why this is the David Bowie season for Flash TV talk, but it is.
No, that's great. That's great. We need to come up with like full versions of these songs. There's an old man
waiting there for you. Like, that's what we'll
drinking coffee at the coffee shop, telling you what to do.
He hates Dungeons and Dragons. And yeah. No, this was great. By the way, fantastic kind of opening with, you know, Barry going around saving the city, kind of that whole bait and switch with like, oh, we need you, we're dying out here. You know, this is the end of the world, catastrophic events and consequences. And, you know, he's saving old ladies who's about to get run over by a reindeer. You got, the sassiest barista in all of Central City who's kind of become a recurring character.
So just the banana then.
That was great. And then, yeah, it turns out they're all playing D&D together. And I love, by the way, the fact that they got Joe out here being like, what am I doing? Like, what is this? Like,
yeah,
that's fantastic. This tension, right? This generational tension that's explored throughout this episode. I thought it was just fantastic.
Yeah, because Joe would have been an adult during the Satanic Panic, and so probably had no introduction to D&D. And so, like, you know, that's completely alien to him, you know?
Right.
I will say, though, when I read the synopsis of the episode before I watched it, it was talking about, you know, the curious case of Bartholomew Allen. And then, like, you know, Barry starts to age, you know, really fast. For a second in my head, I thought when he saved the old lady and he was refusing her money or whatever, That she was going to do like a, have you seen the movie Thinner by Stephen King?
No, I have not.
So the premise is the character is this man, and there's a Roma woman who asks him for help, and he blows her off, and she's like, thinner, because he's a big guy, and he right. just like slowly starts wasting weight because she put a curse on him, and so he tries to go find this woman and apologize or whatever to get the curse off of him. And so for a second there, I thought like when Barry was going to refuse the butterscotch, old lady was going to be like older. We're gonna have to go find this, you know, this crazy magic old woman and like reverse the curse on him. But that was not it at all.
No, I mean, not to some extent. I mean, it wasn't her, but I mean, you weren't far off the mark here.
Yeah. Barry in this episode was the live action version of the meme that's that scene from Saving Private Ryan. Matt Damon's character who like ages into the old man version of himself at the Arlington National Cemetery.
Yeah. That's what we got here. That's what we got.
Yeah.
It's fun. Anytime that Grant gets a chance to play some of these different, you know, scenarios, it's good. You know, he's a theatrical guy. He's I think it speaks to a lot of his strengths, and it also kind of gives him some fun things to chew up along the way. I think the threat here with kind of an aging Flash, it was really compelling. You know, we've talked before about the concept of, man, what does it got to be like to try to raise speedster kids? Well, man, what's it got to be like to have to deal with an elderly speedster who can literally like super speed, you know, to the Great Wall of China and have no idea how he got there. Like, that's terrifying.
That like when they show up in China, like I was like, ooh, man, it's just like you think his mind just wanders for a split second and then they've gone thousands of miles off course.
Right.
And exactly. That's just terrifying.
So I thought it was a fun concept to play around with, and I thought they did a pretty good job with it. Man, let's just go ahead and address who's not in the room. Iris, she's in the future. She's fine. Well, she'll show up. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, Nora said she's still there, so everything's fine, so we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Like, by the way, which Nora was he talking about? I wasn't positive in that moment.
it was definitely his daughter, Nora.
Okay.
Because I thought for a second that he was talking about Speed Force Nora.
Yeah.
But then he said, Nora said she's still in the future. And I was like, oh, okay, they're talking about, yeah.
Oh, okay. You know what? You literally just explained that to me. Because I thought the notion was like, oh, she's in the future. As in like, she jumped ahead to like episode, you know, 23. And we'll when we get to episode 23, she'll just kind of pop up. It's fine. Nora, and I thought he was referring to Speed Force Nora, who was telling him this. But now you're exactly right. It makes more sense that he's like, you know, oh no, Nora says she's, you know, the timeline hasn't been changed, so we know she's going to come back. Which, okay.
Yeah, she is in Nora's future as her mother, so she's there. So obviously there are zero stakes to Iris's story right now.
Exactly.
Absolutely none.
We don't know.
If I have there's two complaints I have about this episode, and that is one of them.
Yeah.
And it's not, that's not necessarily this episode's problem. That's a problem that we've been having with these other Iris episodes where
they do Iris dirty.
Like, yep. They do her dirty, and it's like, oh yeah, don't worry, she's still in the future, so it doesn't matter that we find her. She could just be lost in time. You know, like she was lost in the Mirrorverse, and that didn't affect her badly. You know, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. They're just doing her dirty, and I don't really like it.
No, it's messed up, man. I guess it is what it is, and it seems like there's stuff they're not telling us, and
yeah,
you know.
Again, I hope it's scheduling or something, and not that there's bad blood on the set, and they're trying to work around it. In which case, you know, more power to them. That's a very difficult situation to be in. So I don't know how to handle it, but you know, maybe they're doing the best with what they can. Aside from that, like if we don't focus on Iris' story, it sucks she's not there and she's not being able to participate. But overall, this episode was great.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I thought it was fantastic. Well, so all right. So here's the other. This is the other awkward aspect of the whole Iris being missing from this. So in many respects, like one imagines what Iris would be doing in this episode is given to Cecile. And, you know, Cecile has been a fantastic addition to this show. Fantastic actress. She's got chemistry with everybody. But to some extent, that's kind of a little bit of a problem because, A, she has chemistry with everybody. B, her and Barry have really good chemistry. And it makes me feel uncomfortable, Belle, because that's his mother-in-law.
I get good, like, mom energy from her, though. Not like, I mean, their chemistry is good, but it's mom chemistry. I don't. It doesn't read to me as anything other than that. Maybe I'm the weird one, and you know, you just see this weird other kind of chemistry that I don't. But
well, they've got chemistry, man. I'm just saying they've got chemistry, and it's hard not to think that, like, you know, if Iris was here, it seems as though this is, you know, Cecile is kind of facilitating the story that she would otherwise have. You know what I mean? Like, there's not a whole lot. Yeah.
Maybe, no, sorry, but yeah, like, maybe all of the Cecile stuff that we're seeing is Iris rewrites.
It's very possible. I think it's very possible.
Yeah.
And I'm theorizing here. Fantastic actress. I think she's been, like, the introduction of Cecile. We have to acknowledge this, right? Cecile's a character has kind of been a relief character for the West family on the whole. When Joe was out, Cecile was kind of, you know, the new Papa Joe. We had Mama Cecile, right? Like, she was, you know, facilitating in that kind of paternal role with Iris and with Barry especially. And then, you know, Joe kind of comes back and she kind of ends up operating. Her and Ralph have this kind of interesting kind of buddy-buddy thing. Again, just fantastic chemistry with everybody. And now we've got Iris kind of out of the game. Joe's a little bit back, although we know that Joe's not long for the series. She's kind of facilitating the Iris role. And again, that's his mother-in-law. So I'm just pointing. I don't know. I'm just acknowledging it. That's all I'm doing. I'm just acknowledging it.
Yeah. Yeah. We had to make that acknowledgement.
Yeah,
you're not wrong.
Anyways, there's an episode of I think it was 30 Rock where did you ever watch 30 Rock back in the day?
I've seen, like, clips of it here and there, and maybe a couple episodes, but not really, like, watched all of it.
Not especially. Okay, so there's a you know, the character of Jack Donaghy, his wife, is kidnapped by Kim Jong Il, one of the Kim Jongs, and while she's gone, he's trying to get her back. And during that time, he's, like, teamed up with her mother, which is his mother-in-law, who, because of the age difference between him and his wife, he's much more age appropriately connected to his mother-in-law than his actual wife. And so they end up kind of falling for each other. And it's just, it's, like, gross and weird. And anyway, I got vibes of that. I'm not saying there was, like, a whole lot of, like, romantic subplot going on here. I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just saying that, A, a lot of chemistry. Be hard for me not to, like, recognize this seems as though it would be the story that Iris would have if Iris were here that Cecile is doing. So
yeah. And Cecile, you know, she's a great actress. And so, like, you know, she's obviously playing into that. And so, yeah, like, if these were rewrites, then, you know, it makes sense where that's coming from. First off, because she's a great actress. And second off, because that was the intention to begin with.
Yeah. All right, just a theory. I'm sorry, I've probably stayed too long on this, but I felt like I
yes, we have. Let's move on.
Okay, all right. So, but we had, like, an overall theme here of the, you know, we're all getting older, we're all going to die. Barry is once again presented with the concept that if he continues to use his powers, it's going to affect him in some sort of negative light. He continues to do so. I did think that by the end of this episode, where we have him younger. Let me ask you this. Do you think that there is a reason why he is younger at the end of the episode other than to make the title make sense? Because Benjamin Button never got older. He just got younger.
He started old. I think it's just, you know, it's an episode about aging and stuff. And so it's appropriate.
But why is he younger now?
By, like, a year.
Oh, okay, fair enough. So he's just a joke, just a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to give a year back.
I think it's just a bit.
All right. Fair enough. Our villain, Piotr.
Pieter. something like that. Yeah.
Is German or Russian? What is that?
It's Russian. It's Russian, yeah.
It's Russian. It's Russian.
Yes.
I'm going too old, and I'm going to not. I'm going to take the flesh.
He did not have a Russian accent, I don't believe, but
oh. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, what did you think of this dude?
So this comes about. This is let's just call him Orlov. I was very happy when I was reading the summary that they referred to him as Orlov in the summary for the rest of it, because I completely forgot how to pronounce it immediately after saying it the first time. So my issue with this episode was not with him, but with the OMG science that was in this episode, because we're talking about gamma radiation and stuff like that, and millisieverts, because Chester says at some point it's putting out like what, 50,000 sieverts, I think, of radiation.
I defer to your knowledge of science.
I'm assuming maybe he was talking about millisieverts or sieverts or okay. milli or micro. I think it's milli. But anyway. Just to give you an idea here, 10,000 millisieverts of radiation exposure is fatal within weeks. So he was receiving five times that.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. And the Orlov guy would definitely, because, I mean, okay, Barry's a metahuman. He can heal it. Cool. Down with that. This other dude, Orlov, dead.
Well, he might also be a metahuman. We don't know.
Like Chernobyl workers who died within a month received 6,000 millisieverts of radiation.
OMG,
yeah, like a dental
right
x-ray is 0.01, just to give you some background. You get 2 sieverts. That's just background radiation that we receive a year is 2 a year.
Interesting. Okay, can I ask you a question then? Because suddenly this is making me nervous. I was going in for a dentist appointment very recently, and the lady running the x-ray kept on missing my face, and so she zapped me like 30 times. Do I have brain cancer?
No, you probably received the same dose of radiation that, like, if they took multiple x-rays, it was probably still less than the amount that you would receive flying on, like, a cross-country or international flight.
Okay.
Because you receive more radiation when you fly because you're higher in the atmosphere and there's less atmosphere to protect you. So, yeah, like ground level, you receive 2 a year. A dental x-ray is 0.01.
Okay.
So you're probably fine.
Did it make me younger, though? Because apparently, according to this, it's going to make me younger.
No. It probably just increased your risk of cancer by like a billionth of a percentage.
So you're telling me
there's a chance.
Things you never want to hear.
Yeah. It's OMG science, I get it, but like, can you at least just say something like, you know, the chronometric energy? It's a chronometric energy device.
Okay, that's
just
good.
Just completely make something up. Don't.
Well, as you recall, Bell, he was holding a thermal detonator.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. I like me, Misa Isa Wanka Chewbacca.
Wait, is a thermal detonator real?
Yeah, in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, but he was holding a thermal detonator in this one.
He was holding a thermal detonator that shocked Barry with electricity.
Yeah. Is that how thermal detonators work, Bell?
When he said thermal detonator, I was expecting it was going to be a thing where like he throws it and then there's this massive fire explosion that Barry has trouble outrunning and it burns him. But instead he threw it at him and it just shocked him.
I assume you know what a thermal detonator is, Bell.
Clearly I didn't.
I gotta say, I there seems to be a theme. And maybe this is just me, but every single device, I get Pokeball vibes, like Pokemon vibes.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah. That was definitely the Pikachu Pokeball because it shot electricity. They could have called it a Tesla bomb, Tesla grenade or something. I mean, come on. Why? CW, please explain. Let me write for your show. At least just, you know, let me review your OMG science stuff so I can tell you what sounds ridiculous. And just...
Yeah, but I think you're probably the only one that cares. This isn't the Big Bang Theory, you know what I mean? They're not going to have a scientific consultant on staff.
But I mean, when you're talking about like real world stuff, like radiation, like gamma rays, I mean,
that's how you get Hulks.
Yeah, Like, that's the thing. It's like Barry would take those, like, that intense radiation, and it could potentially, alter his DNA. If there were particles that were radioactive touching his clothes, the second he goes back into Star Labs, guess what? He's emitting radiation to everyone in Star Labs.
But see the Speed Force, though, so he's probably not.
Yeah, but I'm that just bothered me. I'm sorry. 50,000? 50,000 Sieverts?
But Speed Force, Bell.
Yeah, but 50,000 Sieverts. Like,
they're in the Speed Force now.
If he said, I don't know if he said Sieverts or microsieverts or millisieverts, but if he said Sieverts, 50,000, that's, I mean, I can't even do the math in my head of how much more that is.
Yeah, I can do the math right here. A bajillion trillion Sieverts.
Sieverts. It's basically instant death. You just die.
Sieverts plus Speed Force equals not a problem. That's the math, Bell. Like, that's clearly the math.
I don't know why I get hung up on this kind of stuff when there's just an OMG science like way to just explain it away where I don't care, where you just say, yeah, he's taking he reverse engineered a graviton to warp space time so he can make a chronometron, which is a new particle that, or a tachyon even. Tachyons, theoretically travel backwards in time. That's perfect. It's a tachyon pulse. You pull some Star Trek crap. I don't care. It's like Barry drinking bleach on the show to try to ward off some bad guy stuff. It's like, maybe if we drink bleach that will defeat Bloodworks blood virus. And it's like, no.
That's not how this works.
That's not how any of this works. I don't know. I'm just being pedantic, and especially because this episode was so good. It doesn't deserve that level of criticism, but it just bothered me.
But you gave it in anyway, Bell.
Look, I'm going to do my due diligence, okay? That's how you, the listener, know that we are giving our honest opinions here, that we are not paid shills
as much
as we would like to be.
Yeah. wait, you're not getting... Wait, hang on. You're not getting paid?
Wait, what? You are? No, what is this? This is... See, that's why Bo never has all these, bad opinions, because he gets paid. Whereas I make up really ridiculous semantical arguments about how the science in the show in a superhero show is wrong. And
never complained about this show once. Yep, yeah, perfect record. Anyway.
Orlov's fine, whatever, he used his OMG science to make himself old young and then young old.
DC Comics Vulture right here. So I don't think he's based off anybody from DC Comics, but he was the Flash's Vulture.
You know what? It is Summer of Morbius. Maybe he's more like Morbius. Instead of drinking plasma to stay human, he's absorbing their energy with radiation.
There you go. I haven't seen Morbius.
I have not either, but it's the Summer of Morbius.
There you go. All right. Well, hey, we've got some speedster speculation to talk about what was also in this episode, but first we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Patrick Sabongi, and you're listening to Flash TV Talk.
That's the sound of the police in my hood!
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Speedster Speculation.
Speedster speculation. All right, man. Caitlin Snow, also in this episode, she, of course, has been working on the Frost 2.0. Barry goes, finds her, sees that she has got the mirror gun, freaks out a little bit. Kind of like the whole, finding drugs, what is this? Where did you get this? Type of confrontation. She explains her plan. Barry's like, this is unhealthy. And so we get a chance to see him do something pretty visually stunning with
exploding. Amazing looking.
Yeah, we've seen this before. We saw this earlier in the season, if I'm remembering correctly. But just that like Speed Force electricity burst that absolutely decimates her lab and her research. I even thought, like, Barry, you're not going to clean it up? I mean, like you're going to
come my first thought when I saw the destruction was you could have sped all that stuff out of there in a split second and, like, not ruined her apartment.
Right. Like, that's going to definitely you'll lose her her deposit.
Her deposit, yeah. Deposit's gone for sure.
Yeah. So bad on Barry for that. But no, I think, you know, this kind of, like, extreme... I think it's fair to say kind of an extreme reaction to discovering her at work on this.
So what was interesting to me about it was this: last week the plan was to dig her up, and then this week the plan seems to be use the mirror gun. And so I feel like there's a disconnect there, which was interesting.
Well, they needed her DNA. That was the so they weren't going to try to, like, I don't think they were going to get her body other than just for, like, a DNA sample, right?
Right. But I'm hoping they just abandon that because of what we said last week, where, like, if she got a sample from the corpse or from the casket, right? Like, how is that sample any less fresh than the body that's in the ground?
You and your science. Your science is ruining everything.
But, like, I'm because Caitlin said part of her was in her subconscious. The mirror gun gave her a body.
Right.
I don't think they're doing the DNA thing anymore. And I'm happy about that because I think that was just kind of weird and morbid and unnecessary.
Okay. All right. So fair enough.
Yeah, like seeing the mirror gun was cool. I'm like, okay, cool. We're you know, going back to the roots of how Frost came about to begin with, which makes more sense than her trying to, like, clone her and stuff.
No, it does. It definitely makes more sense. Here's my question to you though. Like, where do you think is in your opinion, where does she go from here? You know, like, you and I, we've talked about this before. We think this is going to end up with her going full Killer Frost. Killer Frost 2.0 is going to be Caitlin Snow. She is going to be the new Caitlin, new Killer Frost. Is she going to, like, just kind of give up on trying to pull her out and just try to turn herself, you know, like, needed the body, don't have a body. Needed the mirror gun to do a split, can no longer split. Ergo, vis-a-vis, I'm going to now turn myself into the new Killer Frost.
Yeah, I think that's the route she's on. And I think that's great. Like, again, this is something that we were looking forward to since we saw that a character was going to be named Caitlin Snow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the route that I think they're going to do. And that's great because it's so tragic, right? Like, For this character who's been a fundamental part of Team Flash for years and years and years to just have this dark turn because of this tremendous loss of her sister. And I think that's just so cool. And that's going to be such an interesting story to explore. And I think that's the path she's headed on. It's like Barry was like, no, you have to let her go. This is done. This is over. And she can't. And so everything's been destroyed. She has no other route to look for except for inward. And so she's going, my guess, the way that they're going to do it is it's going to be something like the pieces of Snow that came out of the mirror gun into this new body were the quote good aspect of her.
Oh.
And that's the reason why she was never a killer. Why she, you know, she was a protector, a bodyguard person, but she was never a killer. And so the pieces of Frost that are still in her are the bad and, like, evil and murderous aspects of Frost. And that's what she's going to tap into. And that's what she's going to unlock. And that's why she's going to be Killer Frost.
Interesting, Belle. Interesting. Okay. That could be cool. I definitely dig that. I think as long as it's very clear that who she becomes is herself and not, like, a secondary, like, personality or something like that. Because I think that's a little, if it's like a, here's a third personality, right? If we go with that route, I feel like that's a little too redundant. And I feel like it takes away from the idea of Caitlin actually becoming Killer Frost. Like, that's one of the things I wished, you know, I do understand and I appreciate the representation element of the way they took her story before. But at the same time, I also feel like it felt a little bit more like a cop-out than an intentional, you know, intentional representation move from that standpoint. In that they just didn't want to take Caitlin down the villainous route. And so I really want to see, and then on top of that, then it's like, okay, well, now we have Killer Frost. We don't want to make her a villain. And I think it's because they kind of fell backwards into this, like, oh, we don't want to kind of do this whole, you know, alternate personality is like the evil personality thing. And so it's like, okay, well, just tell the story where Caitlin, like where Caitlin becomes Killer Frost, and it's her, and she's now evil. And like, it seems as though that this is kind of the route she's potentially going. I just don't want them to, it's my hope that this does not become like a third personality, or what would be even worse, like literally bringing back the killer, like the Frost personality from before, because that negates her death. And
That's kind of what I think they're going to do is there's the Frost personality is gone, right? And the only thing that's left in there,
gone, she is consumed by Caitlin.
Sorry, but
yes. So basically it's going to be Caitlin. It's going to be the evil aspects of Frost merged, and so Caitlin will become.
I don't. Okay.
Not the personality. Not the personality. Right. Like it's just this is going to be Caitlin Snow as Killer Frost, not a separate individual, not a separate personality. I don't think.
Why can't Caitlin be evil? Why can't she have her own evil instincts? Why does it have to be Frost instincts? You know what I mean?
Well, it's part of that programming in there, I guess.
I think what she'll activate is the meta gene that Frost had access to.
Oh, okay. And that,
you see what I'm saying? Like, because the meta gene is like, that's generally just like, you could argue if you know, DC comic science, you know, super science, whatever you want to say, but it's like a switch, right? You switch on the meta gene, you got powers now. I think she's going to switch on the meta gene in an effort to bring out Killer Frost, but find that it's just her, and it maybe unleashes her own kind of baseline instincts when she accesses that, because it makes her cold. It makes her less connected to humanity. It's the Darkhold,
to borrow from
a movie you recently saw. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so maybe it'll be something where like she activates the metagene, she becomes Frost, and yeah, deadens or whatever, and then she becomes mm-hmm. angry at Barry for trying, because she realizes that there's nothing left of Frost, perhaps.
Could be. Yeah.
And so that her best chance of getting Frost back was before Barry destroyed her lab. And so she now hates and resents Barry.
Could be. Like it pushes her to go to extremes. She doesn't feel safe sharing with, you know, her found family.
So about this?
Yeah.
So Frost, the personality that was given a body that died.
Yep.
Was a regulating factor on the metagene.
Okay, keep going.
So it was a regulator, right? So like basically it would pop out and it had control, like full control over the metagene to where it would protect her and whatnot. But like, you know, there could be problems arising if Frost were to like kill people, right? And so Icicle didn't want that to happen. And so Frost, the personality, was built to regulate that metagene. So now that Frost is dead, if Caitlin activates that metagene, there's not that protection. There's not that buffer. And so basically, it's just the raw power, which Caitlin has no defense to now. And so because of her anger at Barry, it consumes her. And she becomes Caitlin Killer Frost.
Okay. I could see it.
Yeah, I think that would work.
That would definitely work. Like
and
that.
It doesn't lessen Snow's death. In fact, it kind of like, you know, shows how important she was.
It actually adds more value to her as a character, for sure.
Because this is what this metagene would do without Frost. And so because she couldn't let Frost go, she activated it again. And now the buffer is gone and we have Killer Snow.
I love Killer Snow.
Killer Snow. Hey,
Killer
yes.
Snow Bell. Yes. That's good.
Yes, that was a slip, but I'm going to own it.
I actually really like that, man. That's
Killer
good.
Snow. I
That's
dig it.
Good. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because
okay.
that way it's even more separate. We still have Frost, right? Now we have Killer Snow. Yes, let's do it. I got chills, man.
Killer Snow. Oh! Yes. Oh, man. All right. There it is right there. Killer Snow. Hashtag it. That's amazing, man. Let's see it happen. Let's make it happen. I'm loving it. We will. We're here for it. We'll see what ends up happening in the long run. But man, this is good. All right. Well, tell us your thoughts. We want to know what you think. Are we headed down the Killer Snow path of whence there is no return? Let's hope so. Bell, the people, they can follow you at Ring That Bell. We would love to hear your thoughts. Give Bell mad props for hashtag Killer Snow. Let us know your thoughts on the show. You can follow us at TV Talk FM. If you go to tvtalk.fm, you can find all of our contact information and more. Don't forget to check out the Kenobi TV Talk minis that are coming out at you every single week with this new series. If there's other shows you want us to put out some minis for, let us know. You can, just write into the show@tvtalk.fm is a good place to do it, but all that information and more can be found at tvtalk.fm. That's going to do it for us for this week, but don't worry. We'll be back in a flash. Directed by Kathy Lotz and story by
Katie Lotz.
What did I say?
You said Kathy Lotz. Do you know who Katie Lotz is?
Directed by Katie Lotz and story by
Thomas Pound and Jess Carson.
No, I don't know who that is.
You don't know who Katie Lotz is?
No, who's Katie Lotz?
Are you serious right now?
I'm trying to make a reference.
The only actress who has been in, yeah, like literally the longest running Arrowverse actor or actress in the entire show.
Things that'll get edited out of the podcast. All right.
It's unbelievable. All right. At least put that in the end so that people can ridicule you.
No, for you, buddy, for you.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.